The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
At that very hour, some and Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out and demons and performing cures today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Abraham had been told now a second time that he would be a blessing, that God would indeed give him a promise. He had doubts. What do you mean, this stuff about being of the father of a great people? I don't even have any kid. How's that going to work? The closest heir that I have is the descendant of one of my servants. How's that going to work? And God says, "Well, if you want a sign, and the stars of the heavens won't quite do it, then bring me a heifer three years old and a goat three years old, and a ram three years old, and a turtle dove and a young and pigeons." So, and Abraham does, and cuts them in half, and places one half over here and one half and over here. And the idea of a covenant is that those who are involved in the covenant would walk between these piles of flesh, these piles of death, in such a way as to say, if either of us does not fulfill our part, may the same thing happen to us. It's bloody and gory, but it gets the point across. There would be a third announcement of a covenant to Abraham, restating the same kind of thing. Abram, as he's mentioned here, it would take him a while to figure it out. Those of us, of course, who have soldiered through the Tuesday afternoon and study all the way through the book of Genesis in only a matter of years, we've done quite well. Remember how, of course, hearing this, Abraham and Sarah take things into their own hands. God would have to bring them back again. I used to think that the wrath of God could be found in stories like the 10 plagues and Pharaoh, where God would sort of just snap God's fingers or whatever it would be, and suddenly we'd all be faced with Puget Sound, as a place filled with blood, or maybe it would be gnats, or maybe it would be sores, or maybe it would be darkness, or one thing or another, that God had all of these things stored up in the background there, waiting to be brought out at the right time and to inflict upon humanity the wrath of God. Boy, this was going to be like Armageddon right here in our own day. And then I became a parent, and I began to see things in a different light. So oftentimes, the wrath that my kids had suffered, and when I began to look back, the wrath that I suffered as well, was of my own making. When I would not pay attention to what my mom and dad would say, I would think that I was much smarter and wiser than them. Besides that, they're just old, don't you know? And so you can't trust them. And off I would go, only to discover, I guess, they were right. When the word comes down, and interestingly enough, it's a Pharisee who brings this. Get away from here, Herod intends to put you to death. Herod was known for doing such things. Jesus says, tell that fox that I am going to come to Jerusalem, that I'm casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I finish my work, as a reference to his work on the cross. And then we get back into yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, for it has to take place in Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. God is saying, I have done so much for you. I have sent you prophets to bring you good news and a call to return to the mercy of God. And you always have a better idea. You think you don't need this, so I send others. And those you just want to throw rocks at, as if you know more than they do. Or you're above that, or somehow this word from God is intended for someone else because really you don't need it. Well, they did need it. They did need to know that God stands like one who opens his arms, welcoming the young chicks under the hen's wings to protect it, to protect them, to keep them safe, and to give them life. But you would not. You were not willing. Jesus is one who comes as well. There will be no piles of animals in this place, but Jesus will indeed come, and there will be enough death. It will be Jesus' own death. This one who, like God, who says, I am committing myself to my promise of eternal love to you, and Abram, and the rest of the bunch who comes after you, all those who come in Jesus' name, I love you this much. And Jesus himself would do that. We oftentimes think that we've got the whole thing figured out, but from time to time we need to hear God's word. Come back to me. Return to the Lord, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. God's love just doesn't quit. It's always there. And the invitation is there as well, to come to me as Jesus opens wide his arms. Oh, how I would have opened my arms like the hen and spreads out its wings that all might find shelter there. Sometimes we're wise enough to see it and to take advantage of such wonderful grace. Sometimes it takes us a while of wandering around in the wilderness or whatever it might be. But regardless of what we do, God is still God and is eternal in God's love and always stands there as Jesus does, saying, come to me. It would be interesting that Jesus says, yes, I will come to Jerusalem, but it won't be until you say in this ironic phrase, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. They will receive him on one day, and a few days later, ask for him to be crucified as well. We are a stubborn and stiff-necked people. We can say it's about them over there, but we see it in ourselves. The scripture becomes a mirror. And when we hold it up, the only one we see is us. And yet, God still stands with open arms saying, come to me. All you who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Amen.